Welcome to Fun with Scotch and Other Fine Spirits. This is episode 64, and I'm John.
I'm Marlis.
And I'm Judy.
And today we're going to be talking about three whiskeys from Washington State and a book that we're looking at. And Marlis can tell you more about that.
Yeah. I read a book. Yeah, I'm a librarian. I've read several.
She's probably read a lot of books.
This one is called Distilling in Washington, and it's by, the author is Becky Garrison, and it's a lovely short, you know, history of the distilling industry and especially the craft distilling movement here in Washington State. And she's a good writer, and it's a lot of fun. There's parts of it are very confusing, especially, you know, in the territorial period before statehood with the saloon culture that was, you know, fairly destructive, and then into prohibition and beyond into the craft movement. So it's a lot of fun. The two things that I remember, and I have to confess that I have lost the book somewhere in my house.
She hasn't lost it. Just can't find it in her house.
I just don't know where it is. So I was going.
I would
to,
like her to find it. So I was going to
find entertaining passages, but I can't do that now. So this is embarrassing.
Maybe
anyway,
in another episode.
I know. But one thing was that, especially during the Depression, moonshining, whether it was before or after the repeal of prohibition, was one of the few things that kept small farmers solvent. You know, there was so little money circulating around and prices of crops were very low, but they could always make a little moonshine and sell that. The other thing was that in the Pacific Northwest and in Seattle especially, there weren't the battles, you know, running street gunfights and that kind of thing that there were in, you know, many of the eastern or midwestern states. Chicago bootleggers tended to see it in a more entrepreneurial spirit. And in fact, there is documentation of about 100 of them actually going out to dinner one night at one of the hotels and hammering out protocols and procedures so they didn't step on each other's toes and cramp their economic style. And then they all went out to dinner together. So
you said that was Chicago?
No, that was Seattle.
You meant Seattle,
Chicago. Oh, sorry. I used to live in Chicago. Now I live near Seattle.
I was like, what's that have to do with Washington?
I know. I'm easily confused.
Yeah.
And no, I lose things easily,
you just
too.
That's
So that's, and we recommend it. And then toward the end of her book, she goes and she contributes a lot of information about a lot of the different distillers. Now, of course, as with any rapidly changing area, by the time the book was actually published, probably some of those distillers had closed down and other new ones had started up. But, you know, it is a fun book, and we do recommend it.
And it is published by Arcadia Publishing. Mm-hmm. And if you're interested, it is available on Amazon. And no, we don't have an affiliate link or anything like that.
No.
Yeah, because we don't make money.
We spend it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So what, John, do we have today?
Well, it looks like we have Bainbridge Battle Point Whiskey. Mm-hmm. We have Mulligan Triple X from the Cultus Bay Distillery. And we have Bad Dog Single Malt Whiskey.
From Bad Dog Distillery.
Mm-hmm. Is that? Oh, yeah, it's from Bad Dog Distillery. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yeah. Cool. So first up is Bainbridge, which was my choice at the store. So Bainbridge Distillers are located on Bainbridge Island, shocker, and was founded in 2009 as an independent family-owned and operated distillery.
Mm-hmm.
It is, according to their website, the second oldest distillery in Washington State. Now, I did not do any, you know, fact-checking. I will trust them because I'm sure people will tell them if they're wrong. The Bainbridge Battle Point is distilled from 100% organic heritage soft white Washington State wheat. And it's fermented using Irish and Scottish whiskey yeast, twice distilled and aged for 6+ years in new number 3 charred 53-gallon American white oak barrels.
Well,
yeah. So let us try it out.
Smells good. Smells sweet.
Mm-hmm. It has a very sweet aroma.
Mm-hmm.
It does. I mean, you can smell a little bit of alcohol, but I don't find it to be overly alcoholic.
When we've had wheat whiskey before, it's definitely a little softer texture and feel. So that's why we're doing that one first.
It's 43% alcohol by volume. And at Total Wine, the price point is $69.99 plus Washington State fees and taxes.
Hmm. That's good. It's got a tiny little bite, not much.
Yeah, a little bit of a bite to it. Mm-hmm. You can definitely tell there's wheat in there.
Mm-hmm. It's got a kind of a honeyed feel to it.
Mm-hmm. I wonder if they sell a gluten-free one.
Huh.
Just kidding. For taste, it's supposed to be rich and complex,
mm-hmm.
With notes of caramel, vanilla, orange peel on the nose,
mm-hmm.
eucalyptus, and sherry. baking spice and fresh barrel char on the tongue, and the lingering finish may have a bit of a salt air brine because it is done right next to.
Oh yeah,
there.
It is on an island.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. It's tasty.
It is. That's nice.
Yeah, I like that one.
Mm-hmm. And frankly, it's not as soft as I was afraid it was going to be.
Mm-mm.
It's got some body to it, and it's got it's good. The finish is a little funny for me.
Hmm.
Okay, now we all have to have one more.
We have to try it again.
Yeah, I know.
I don't find it funny. It's okay for me. Everybody's mm-hmm. taste is different.
Mm-hmm.
That's true.
All right.
Hmm. Now I was going to say it. Good
first start.
Crisp kind of finish to it, I think. It lingers a bit, and there's a little, like you said, there's a little honey, a little sweetness at the end, too.
Mm-hmm.
I like it. It's good. Okay, second on the list, Cultus Bay Mulligan Triple X. It's 43% alcohol by volume. We paid $40.99 for it.
Yes.
And on the website, for some reason, it says it's $57.99.
Maybe they put it for the wrong price on the shelf.
Yeah, they may have made a mistake on their webpage. I don't know. Or they put their own code in the computer. Who knows?
We'll take the $40.99.
Yeah, works for me. So anyway, Cultus Bay Distillery is located in Clinton, Washington, on southern Whidbey Island. Mulligan Triple X is a classic style Irish style single malt whiskey. Triple pot distilled from unpeated Washington State barley malt. Small batches are fermented, distilled, and aged in oak barrels. It's billed as a civilized poteen, which is what I am told is the pronunciation for that word.
The interwebs said so.
Yeah, which is a traditional Irish distilled beverage. Former common name is Irish moonshine. Their website states that while adding mixers to Mulligan violates no specific Washington statute yet, it should be considered a crime against nature, if not the state.
Mm-hmm.
The tasting notes on this are, well, okay, thanks. Tasting notes, it says on the piece of paper I have, not much about it online.
There is isn't.
Okay, yeah.
I know.
So I almost read that out. I had to stop for a second.
Yeah.
I did read that.
Yeah. It's one of the problems with small craft distilleries is that often they're very hard to find outside of the state. They have license to sell and even to ship within the state, but not necessarily outside of it.
Yep.
And, you know, licenses to ship outside of the state can be fairly expensive. So if you're a small distillery and you've got a small output, they're not easy to find other places.
Yeah.
Okay.
It does say caramel and honey grain notes. And warming spice and vanilla lead to a long finish.
That's all I could find.
Yeah.
I have to say, sorry, Mulligan, but I'm not enjoying the aroma.
No, the aroma, there's more alcohol in the aroma, I think.
Is that what
and
it is?
less sweetness, you know. You go back to the Bainbridge, and then, okay, now my nose can't smell anything. So
yes,
be careful of that. Yeah.
Yeah, I can't quite.
I'm thinking of the ocean and salt and maybe seaweed.
Oh.
That might be why, because it is on
Whidbey Island.
Whidbey Island.
Yeah. Of the three that we have today, the first two, Bainbridge and Mulligan from Cultus Bay, are both from islands in Puget Sound. So that certainly has a different atmosphere than Bad Dog is from Arlington, which is up in the mountains, or the foothills anyway.
It also does make me think of moonshine when I'm smelling that,
well, too. Well, there you go. That's basically the base, I guess.
Interesting.
Now, this is definitely, there's less sweetness, less honey than the Bainbridge whiskey. Mm-hmm. It's not bad, you know. So, again, if you're not
the flavor is good. I just, for some reason, I found the aroma a little off-putting.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I never let that stop me.
No. We plow on no matter what.
Yeah, so I'm glad I am like that because I think the flavor's fine.
Mm-hmm.
It still has a different flavor to it. It's the flavor is not, I mean, it reminds me of the aroma. I'm still getting a lot of that in the taste.
This seems to be more spice, and I can't identify exactly which spice rather than fruit or honey or something like that. It's a spicy little meatball. Not like a rye. You know, I mean, it's not whacking you or anything, but it's definitely, definitely less soft than the wheat.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And a little more, not obstreperous, but I would say impetuous.
It's a fine whiskey.
It is. I would like to know more about poutine or whatever it is that.
Pachin,
excuse me.
Judy, you have unpleasant memories of iodine from when you were young or something, don't you? You told me you didn't like the smell of iodine.
Well, my mother used it on me all the time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And whenever I got a cut, iodine.
Yeah. Does this make you think of that at all?
No.
What's the thing they used to put in your eyes when you had like a pink eye? Argyrol.
I don't know that one. I didn't get pink eye until I grew up.
Oh.
And then they didn't use that anymore.
I was the youngest child. I got everything.
Yeah.
And my siblings were still at home.
The youngest child, but I still didn't get me. So John has.
That's interesting.
Oh, no, not John. Marlis has.
Yes.
I get them mixed up all the time because they look like each other.
Yeah, I know.
And we sound
Marlis
like.
Marlis needs to shave her beard.
I know.
Oh, brother.
Excuse me. Excuse me.
And I need to grow one.
So. Yeah, I know. Okay, so Bad Dog Distillery, they're single malt. Bad Dog is named after the distillers, Dave and Shelley McLaughlin, which I think is a lovely name for purveyors of scotch, malt whiskey. Yeah, sorry. Anyway, Hank was a golden retriever, and they said he isn't actually a bad dog per se, but he has committed some questionable actions such as chasing rocks down hills, enjoying a good roll through the mud, or even better, a dead animal. Mm-hmm. But he's been, a good enough dog that he got a distillery named after him. So that they've been in business since 2012, and they were living in the rural area of Bryant, just north of Arlington. And they decided to do some stuff. They wanted a local business, something that they could do at home. So they created Bad Dog Distillery. And this is their single malt. And I could not find, tasting notes as such online. But what Judy found is that the flavor is a delicate orange, finishing with a hint of honey. So we'll see. Bad Dog Single Malt. And I can't remember how much it was. I'm guessing 56.
I didn't put it on here. Yeah, I think it was like 70 or something like that. I'll have to look it up again.
Oh, it smells good. And there's something fruity there.
Mm-hmm. That must be the delicate orange, maybe?
No, maybe orange or peach or something in the yellowy orange area. Not lemon. But
you have quite an active bird outside.
Yes.
I don't know if it's being picked up by the microphone, but that's quite a bird.
It's not Pear Olaf, so I don't know what's going on anyway. Oh, I love this smell.
I know. Okay. That's aroma's nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, each one of these has a totally different aroma.
Yeah.
It's smooth.
Mm-hmm.
I find this very smooth, and it's the highest alcohol.
Yeah, this is 45% ABV. The other two were 43.
Mm-hmm. But no, I found that pretty smooth. It has a nice flavor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's... I mean, it's warm, but there's not a lot of, heat. Mm. And again, there's that fruit that I can't identify, kind of a melon or something. No?
Well, my palate is not that great, so My palate is, I like it, I don't like it. That's my palate.
But there is, yeah, orange and honey, I can certainly identify. And for me, there's that kind of underlying fruitiness that is very tasty. John, how are you doing?
Pretty good. The aroma for me, it's kind of, you mentioned it, it's kind of in between orange and melon for me somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
It's really nice, though. It's very sweet.
Yeah, and very distinctive. You know, we drink a lot of whiskey here. We taste a lot of whiskey here. And yeah. Okay, then we drink it. But still, it's for me, this is probably the most distinctive mm-hmm. of the three. Not necessarily the best. I'm not. But I'm saying it's just very. They're all actually very different from mm-hmm. each other.
They're extremely different.
Which is kind of fun.
And this says you may have paid $72.99.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But, one thing I noticed on their websites, if you live in Washington and you order from them so they can ship it, the mm-hmm. prices tended to be less. But, of course, by the time you pay shipping, it probably brings it back up to Total Wine. But every single one of these were from Total Wine. Okay. So I'm assuming you bought yours at Total Wine.
Yeah, I did.
And all of these distilleries have several alcohol offerings. So
I know.
These are not their only...
From Cultus Bay, I have it's called Mortal Gin. It's a very, herbaceous
gin
with botanical. That's it. Botanical gin with lots of stuff in it. And it's very tasty. Got that. I was at a farmer's market on Whidbey Island and.
Oh yeah. They
weren't allowed to give you tastes because of the laws, but, you could smell. It was like, oh, okay.
That's funny.
And again, one of the things that Garrison's book also goes through is all the gyrations that the various states, but especially Washington, went through when Prohibition was repealed. Because the saloon culture really was destructive. You know, there was no law about, if someone is obviously drunk, you can't sell them anything. Mm-hmm. You could sell them whatever you want. If they had the money, you kept pouring. There were no laws about not serving minors. If someone was 12 years old and had the money, you served them. You know, so it was...
It's already a crime, so why not?
Well, no, it wasn't a crime.
During Prohibition.
No, after Prohibition.
After.
Before Prohibition.
Oh, okay.
Which is one of the things led to Prohibition was this whole kind of culture of just, you know, the bartender was not your friend. The bartender was there to sell you things until you were insensible, basically. So,
and then sell you some more.
Yeah, I know. They could pour it on your, you know, inert body. But, and I forgot where I was going with that. I had a point. I feel like, you know, Ellen DeGeneres, my point, and I do have one, only it's in the past now. So
you might think of it later.
That's true.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, I know. It was when Prohibition was repealed, the states were allowed to make various licensing laws for this. And in Washington State, there was a thing that women had to be served sitting down. That a woman had to be, you know, buying food and sitting down basically in the restaurant before she could be served alcohol.
But men could be do it standing up.
Yes. This was evidently was an idea that, you know, well, we can prohibit inhibit prostitution by not allowing strange women to be wandering around drinking in a place. The other thing was that there's a difference between you had to serve food if you were going to serve hard liquor. So I remember when I first moved out here in 1999, I went to a tavern with my friend Gail, and we were sitting down, and the guy came to take our order, and I said I wanted some Dewars. And he said, oh, no, we can't serve hard liquor here. We're a tavern. Which to me, coming from Chicago, sounded like, oh, I'm sorry, we can't sell you alcohol here. We serve alcohol. And I'm like, okay, what? Why? And Gail's just don't, you know. So a tavern where you could go and just drink, you could buy wine or beer, but you couldn't buy hard spirits. And I'm like, So, you know, Garrison's book did help me figure that out. I don't think that's true anymore because we had a big Costco and various other of the big retailers, Total Wine and such, lobbied strenuously so that after I moved here in 99, the laws changed. So it's no longer a state liquor store. The trouble is that now you have Costco, Safeway, Fred Meyer, and then you have a few independent liquor stores.
7-Eleven, whoever.
Yeah, but you've lost a lot of the variety, I think, or at least some.
And the prices went up because the taxes increased so much.
Sure. But, you know.
But we have lots of places that you can buy liquor and beer and wine and no food.
Yes. So,
that's true.
But you can bring your food in with you. You can bring food in.
That's true.
You can like order DoorDash and have it delivered.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, there was one place, I don't know if they're still there on the west side. They sell a lot of meat and stuff like that. But they were right next door to a sandwich shop.
And you could
actually order from the sandwich shop and order. Mm-hmm. And then they would like bring it over to you.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, they've gotten around that. There was one place we went that we could get a Hungry Man dinner. Was that the Royal?
Oh my God!
The Royal Lounge.
How drunk would you have to be?
I don't know. Could you have Salisbury steak? I mean, that's my favorite Hungry Man dinner. Not really. I don't have a favorite Hungry Man dinner.
No.
But I was like, what? That's the one where you went.
Do you remember TV trays?
Yeah.
Do you even have your TV dinner on your TV tray?
Yeah. I still have TV trays, but I remember, Marlos, we went there one time, and this might have been when they told me they did have Hungry Man dinners. You needed to get cash out because they probably also didn't take credit cards. And they said, "Well, where's the ATM?" And you're like, "By the Velvet Elvis."
And you were like,
"What?" And you were looking.
I'm outside looking up and down the street for some little dive called the Velvet Elvis. No.
Yeah.
It was a painting on the wall, a velvet painting on the wall
of Elvis. And there was an ATM right underneath it. I'm like.
That was funny. And that was before she started drinking.
I know. Because I had no money. Yeah.
She had no money. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that I forgot about that until.
Oh,
yeah.
God.
Hungry Man dinner.
What was that? It was the Royal Lounge.
Okay.
Yeah.
Which is not there. I think that's where the Cove is now.
Yeah. Yeah. We should go there sometime.
We should. It looks nice. It looks nicer.
Yeah.
Sorry. It looks nicer than the Royal Lounge.
But the Royal Lounge had a little bocce ball court with sand.
That's true.
So,
Not that we actually played it.
Well, no.
We just sat there and looked. It's a bocce ball court.
I know. I just thought it was a neat thing.
Yeah. All right, so we do water?
Okay, yes, but we have to refill a few glasses.
Mine, I think that's still
you're
enough.
I drink more. Do you need more of anything?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I do. See,
okay,
you need,
okay
this,
no, this is the
oh,
second
this is the second.
I know. This is a very scientific survey, you know. We
excellent.
Can't just fill
science.
Glasses willy-nilly.
Science.
Okay, this is the first
one.
I need just a drop here. Eek. Okay, do you need them?
Yeah,
okay. Hold the glass up, because otherwise I could pour it on the microphone.
Yeah.
A bad thing.
That's it. We don't want any drinking microphones.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Can I put some water in there?
Yes.
Oh, that's right.
Okay, so now we're at the point of the evening where we're adding just a drop or so of water to things and seeing if that helps.
Okay.
The received wisdom is that a little bit of water sometimes helps open up. That was probably a little extreme. Okay, I need to add a little bit here.
I guess we'll find out if that works.
Yeah. Helps open up, makes it a little more aromatic or, you know, just... So we shall see if this actually works.
Here's the Bainbridge.
Yes, the Bainbridge. And this is the wheat whiskey.
Mm-hmm. It still has a lovely sweet aroma.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, a little bit of water is fine. I don't think it's damaged it at all. So again, you know, this is probably the gentlest, shall we say?
Yeah, it's the gentle one.
Mm-hmm. And the three whiskeys.
It tastes good.
Mm-hmm. But if it's a hot summer day and you want to put an ice cube in it, that would probably be fine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Actually, it seems more fruity to me now. I don't know why.
Might be.
Yeah. Mm. Whiskey is good. All right.
Yeah.
And this is the Mulligan... Triple X.
The aroma is the same to me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think it smells more like iodine now than
I had. I don't have a firm iodine memory. I just
your mother.
Sense memory.
Used much.
I know. Not as much as yours, evidently.
My mom swore on it.
I know. I couldn't eat hot dogs for years after I got sick once after eating them. It's like...
Like, you just couldn't? Or your mom wouldn't let you?
No, I couldn't. It was just like...
I used to be that way with hot dogs, too, because I got sick after hot dogs.
Yeah, I know. So beware of hot dogs bearing gifts, or even without gifts. Just
I don't detect any change in the mulligan.
No.
I don't either. No.
I think it stands up to...
To water.
Yeah. So, again, you know, hot afternoon. We're coming in, this is June now, so we're coming into summer.
Yeah.
It was midsummer, and I was over at some friend's house for dinner, and I said, I just want you to know that it's, here it is, midsummer, and I haven't asked any of you to put on a bear suit. You know that film, Midsummer? Oh, you don't. Okay, there's this horror film, Midsummer, where this couple is visiting Sweden, and evidently he's a very bad boyfriend. He's just mean and petty, and this girl is kind of following along. And they go into rural Sweden, and they meet these lovely people who dress all in unbleached linen with flowers in their hair.
You should be suspicious right there.
I know. And they kind of get sucked into there, and then they dress him as a bear and sacrifice him. That's a spoiler. Well, okay, if you want to see the movie, just see it anyway and just know that. But know that I repressed my natural instincts to sacrifice my friends to the Midsummer gods.
I'm sure they appreciated that.
They did.
That's a good thing, yeah.
They did. They were a little astonished, like, oh my God, we invited a Swede for Midsummer. Ah. But they got over it.
I'm pretty sure Marles wanted to sacrifice me a time or two, but
she was resistant. But I have refrained.
Yes, right. She resisted.
Of course, it wasn't Midsummer, probably. But
probably wasn't Midsummer. I avoid Marles at Midsummer.
That would be a frightful waste of drinking buddies, though. So,
that would
not be good.
Evidently, he was no loss.
Yeah.
That was the whole point of the movie, that, you know, well. You know,
nobody missed him.
Someone got to go, then, yeah. Here, put on the suit. Yeah.
Now I'm sniffing bad dogs.
Okay, we're down to bad dogs.
And I don't know that I like what the water did to the aroma for me.
Mm.
Or maybe I just didn't do it. It's not as nice, I don't think.
Yeah, it kind of
opened it up too much.
Yeah, watered it down a little bit much. It's still a tasty little whiskey, though. It says, "Hello, I am a whiskey."
That's good.
It is a very distinctive taste, and I wish I had a better way of describing it.
Yeah, I think it has to do with the whole being... No, this one isn't next to the ocean. Never mind.
No.
It's up in the mountains. Next to the foothills.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's near a mine. Maybe we're tasting...
Maybe there's some
iron ore.
Old miner dust.
Yeah, we don't know where they're...
We're sorry, bad dog, if you're listening.
I know.
We tend to riff. We don't mean it.
No, but we don't know where their water comes from or what, you know, that's part of the whole recipe.
It's not next to a cemetery like the Olympia Brewery. It's right next to a cemetery.
Lousy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And their slogan was, it's the water.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Well, but I think they took their water upstream.
Marlis?
Stop.
Okay.
Should be it's from the water.
Yeah. Well, they were probably afraid to eat that.
Yeah, I know, right?
I know.
They might have gone out of business.
Oh, wait. They did.
Yeah.
But, yeah. And it's the shell of the brewery is still there.
I know.
If you're one of those people that likes to go to abandoned places, like there's a Facebook group on abandoned places in Washington, well, feel free to go look at that. Lots of people have.
In fact, let us know. We'll go with you, probably.
No, I won't.
Oh,
all right. I will not go to the burned out shell of the Olympia Brewery.
All right.
Nope.
All right. Mm-hmm.
I don't want to die.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, only part of it's burned out.
I'm not going.
Yeah.
So anyway.
Okay.
The three.
Mm-hmm.
I think all of them are nice.
They're lovely, actually, in their own
just,
ways.
They're all different.
Uh-huh.
They're very different from each other.
I guess if you're like a Irish whiskey kind of person.
Oh, yeah. Mulligan Triple X.
Mulligan Triple X.
I might take that down to New Mexico the next time I go just for, kicks and giggles.
For your friends.
Chips and giggles, mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Bainbridge Island one is good, and the Bad Dog's good. I mean, I don't know that I have a favorite.
I know. Yeah, I know, because they're so different.
They're so different. It's like apples and oranges.
Yes.
Or orange and caramel. I don't know.
Well, no, caramel would be a favorite then. I love caramel.
Oh, no, I don't. Actually, I'm not a girl. Well, I don't care if my whiskey tastes like caramel, but caramel in general, I don't really like. They're all worth mm-hmm. the try. I think it's one of those, you really need to try these yourself in order to. Though, probably most of them you have to come here because they can't ship it to you.
I know, which is really annoying.
And I don't know how many of those would be, I don't know that those distilleries are big enough to ship out of state.
I know. We're going to try and visit some of these distilleries because mm-hmm. they are fairly close and they're pretty cool.
Oh, yeah, we can easily do, each one. Take a day and go to one, take a day and go to one.
Yeah.
We could spread it over different weekends because it would be a nice day trip.
Yeah.
Especially going to the islands.
I love the islands.
Yeah, that's fun.
It's so fun.
Yeah.
There was another thing I was going to say. Oh, and do buy Becky Garrison's book, Distilling mm-hmm. in Washington. It's fun, and it gives you a lot of information about distinctive distilleries and kind of how things worked on the frontier. Because remember, no one settled north of the Columbia in Washington, well, except Hudson's Bay Company, of mm-hmm. course. John McLaughlin, amazing person. Anyway, but, European settlement really started in the late 1840s and where, when New York and Philadelphia and even Chicago were going strong and building huge buildings and having massive civil engineering feats, Washington was not. So we were.
So we just drank.
Well, yeah, but you had to do your own.
Yeah.
And evidently the Hudson's Bay on Vancouver, near Vancouver, Washington, on the Columbia River, they had one of the first distilleries in the area. And then evidently, because fur traders and various people occasionally drank to excess, shall we say, John McLaughlin, who was the factor there, and basically the god for, thousands of square miles in the Pacific Northwest at the time, closed the distillery. People were misbehaving, as people will. But, it's really an interesting history, and it's kind of the West in microcosm. Mm. Later than, the 13 original colonies and, the journey west. I mean, this was an area that came late to the party, and it has a really interesting history, which Judy has digitally preserved in various newspapers and classics.
I was trying to figure out where you were going. That's part of
we
job.
Worked for the Washington State Library, and we created digital collections for them.
Well, I'm pretty sure I digitized a book about John McLaughlin.
He was wonderful. I liked him.
I can see his portrait right in front of me.
He married one of the young women who was her mother was an Indian and her father was a Scottish trader, and those original women who were kind of caught between two cultures, tended to marry Hudson's Bay mm-hmm. people or trappers or various people, and he was just a really interesting person who, in a very difficult situation, created a fair amount of order out of chaos. So,
excuse me. There's a lot of bad things about history in Washington, too. So, we've got to accept it all and move on. But yes, the Washington State Library does have a lot of digital collections, digital newspapers especially, things of that sort. Give it a visit. www.sos.wa.gov/library. Anyway, because we're part of the Secretary of State's office.
Mm-hmm. Yay.
I wonder if I'm going to get in trouble for doing a whiskey podcast.
Maybe.
Tell me.
I know.
You can edit that.
Do go to your local store and buy some of your local whiskeys, whatever they may be, and then let us know about them. We'd love to find out about whiskeys in South Africa or New Jersey or God knows where.
Netherlands. I don't know.
Yeah.
We have one listener sometimes in Argentina.
Oh, let us know. Yeah. That would be so exciting.
And it'll probably be a while before we do another podcast, right? Because you're going on vacation.
I'm going to Scotland, home of Scotch. I'm so excited.
That's where that comes from.
Speaking of that, what does the sign say at Total Wine now?
Oh, it says...
Instead of saying
whiskey's
Scotch,
from Scotland.
Yeah, whiskey's from Scotland is what the sign says.
Yeah.
Oh,
it no longer says Scotch. But on the other side of the aisle, they have
bourbon.
It doesn't light say, the torches. We will march. We ride at dawn.
I think it's, you know, Scotch is self-explanatory.
It really is.
Unless people think it's tape, with the IQ level of people these days, they might. They might think they're selling tape on that aisle. I don't know. But it's, and I saw that, I'm like, what the fuck?
They are bad people, and we must protest. Okay.
Yeah.
So we have our next month lined up. Anyway, I'm going to be in Scotland.
Marla says hers lined up.
For the first half of August, and I'm very excited. And I'm going on a tour for the first 9 days up through, we're going as far north as Inverness, and then down to the Isle of Skye and various other places. And then my friend Mary and I are going to St. Andrews, where I spent a year in graduate school many, many years ago. We won't even go into how many. And then we're going to Pitlochry, which is near Edradour. And I was so excited. But Edradour is closed for all of 2024 because they don't have enough staff to actually, they're very small. But Blair Athol
like three
and
people anyway.
I know. But Blair Athol and Aberfeldy are within a day trip. Oh. So we're hoping to get there. And I will report when I come back.
Awesome.
That sounds wonderful. Yeah.
I know.
Okay.
All right.
Well, and there are a lot more Washington distilleries. I mean, I saw several like ryes from different, I was like, maybe we do a Washington distillery rye episode.
That would be fun.
Mm-hmm. Cause I was trying not there to get anything like too, like I just wanted to get a general whiskey since you've got a general whiskey, even though we got one that's more of a Irish whiskey style, but it still fit.
It's still barley.
Then we had a wheat.
Yeah, that's true.
All right.
And the wheat was the Christmas.
Yeah, and we picked distilleries we've never done before.
Right. Mm-hmm. Because Dry Fly Distillery over in Spokane does have a whole line of wheat whiskeys because that's wheat growing country. But
we've done Dry Fly.
Yeah, we've done them before, so we didn't do them.
I was trying really hard to. I was looking at our list, looking at the, you know, looking at everything. I had all kinds of things open, trying to do a good job today instead of walking in here and not having done anything, which is what I typically do.
Such is life. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Wow. Three great whiskeys, and we hope that you will contact us and let us know if you find anything that you're interested in at funwithscotch@gmail.com. And thanks for listening, and have a pleasant day.